B-Pod Studios.
Zola and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what probably we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't like throwing to the same spot right there, though. You can throw a fastball. You better get it on the corner right here.
He did. 95 and a high fly ball deep left field and gone. Springer launching one. A three-run shot to put Toronto in front 9-8.
I'm just sort of curious how many more fastballs he was willing to throw there before one was hit out of the park. If anyone has that answer, I'd like to know. He did talk about it after the game. He said it leaked a little bit. It leaked over the plate.
Leaky gut.
I'll tell you, Red Sox took a...
You got a leaky gut?
Yeah. Took a wrong turn over the weekend, man.
Oh, just over the weekend?
Ooh, the last couple of weeks have been rough. Very rough for that team. A happy Monday to you. Welcome back to the work week. Hi, Zoe.
How you doing?
Hi, Hardy.
Hi.
We're all in the same room.
This is good.
Feels good.
Feels weird.
Feels nice.
Yeah, it
feels really
of,
nice.
Got a lot of room. You can do things like this.
So much activity space.
It is. You could do this stuff.
You could have done that last week or a couple of weeks ago.
You have less.
Where did you go
you have
this
less
morning?
Room now.
Oh, I went to Gillette. Oh.
What happened there?
They don't have practice.
Explain it to me. Explain it to everyone like you explained it to me.
So I got up today. It's Monday. And I just thought, over the they had the Friday practice, Friday night in-season practice, which was a glorified walkthrough.
Correct.
I guess a lot of people are upset about that. But I guess that's what it always is, though.
That's what almost every practice is now.
Yeah, no kidding. And Matt Slater talked about that, too. It's like it's a different world we live in now, and they got to adjust to it. But so I get up today, and I'm like, okay, where'd Gillette? Thinking, okay, up and at them, back to normal. I thought they would be... Morning practice today. I know they're in the stadium tomorrow. And then they get to walk through Wednesday. We play Thursday. Not we, but the Patriots play Thursday.
Right, right.
So I just figured it'd be normal camp practice at 9:15, 9:45 again. Wasn't a lot of cars, and it's stupidly I walked in. I should have known then.
It was too quiet.
Yeah, and then you don't see people walking up the hill. You don't hear the horns. You don't hear the music cranking. You know, getting the fans all fired up and whoever the rah-rah person is over there. So, yeah. Security goes, what are you here for?
Is
practice?
This... Not today.
Practice later.
Not today.
I didn't see any of your people. Your people.
Yes. Your people.
Yeah.
Red Sox now 4 games back in the division.
Oh.
That's a big number. 4.
When do we keep going back to look, where, they had a nice comfortable lead and how things changed in just 1 month, but like a month and a half?
Well, they had a 4.5 game lead at the start of July, and now they're 4 games back. For those of you who have difficulties with math, that's an 8.5 game swing.
That's an 8.5 game swing in less than 4 weeks.
In one month's time.
We didn't think it was possible. Because I know we even talked about it become a team. You told me the Yankees were dead. We've had that discussion how many times. Bad team. Should fire their manager. They're dead.
I think the Yankees suck.
I know.
I think they're a good team. But
at least they're trying. They did something at the deadline. They got Rizzo. That guy's been okay for them. I know he's
got COVID.
COVID
now.
I know that. Well, a lot of people are going to get hit with this.
So the Yankees have won 8 of their last 10, as have the Rays, and the Yankees look like an inspired bunch following their trade deadline, while the Red Sox look like a sad group of guys.
Yeah, I mean, dead-ass team.
They look sad.
Yankees are a dead-ass team at the end of June.
Yeah, and I will say this.
You gave them life.
I have not thought at any point this year that the Yankees are a good team. I don't. I think they've had a horrendous year, and I think they had a lot of holes in their lineup. The Red Sox are closer to the Yankees than they are to the Rays.
I agree with that.
Which tells you how bad of a month it has been. for the Red Sox. To be closer in the standings now to the Yankees, just 2.5 games separate the Red Sox and Yankees, while 4 games separate the Red Sox and Rays.
That's a half scary. Glass full or half glass empty argument.
Well, that's just scary that they're that close to New York, because New York, I'm sorry, I look at that team, I watch that team, they've been great the last couple of weeks, but they have not had a good year on the whole.
Didn't Sam Kennedy.
And the Red Sox have appropriately beaten the bag out of them for the most part.
I guess they're still keeping score too down there. Yaki Way there. I guess Sam Kennedy said it at the other place.
What did he say?
Just remember, I think what's our record against the Yankees this year? I think it's 10-3.
When was that said?
I thought it was last week. Yeah, I heard it last week.
In the middle of this losing?
Somebody was talking about it. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, for lack of not doing anything at the trade deadline and the Yankees doing something at the trade deadline, his answer to that was, well, look at the record.
You know who's been proven right? I wish Milliken were here today. I really wish that he were here today.
I think he checked out today. He didn't
have a lot of
today.
Stuff for him.
Yeah.
And the guy who was ultimately proven right was Chaim Bloom. Because Chaim Bloom didn't believe in this team at the deadline. Because Chaim Bloom looked at this team. And what did I tell you? This is not revisionist history. This is not saying something after the fact. I said, leading up to the deadline, I said, I'm willing to bet that based on run differential and based on their expectations for this team going into the year, that Chaim Bloom looks at this team and says, they are overperforming. They are performing above and beyond what they are supposed to be. And those nerds and those stats guys, when they're not, you know, also fanboys like Milliken.
Mm. Clowns.
That they also look at it and say, well, water seeks its level. And this team's going to come crashing back down.
Well, perception versus reality.
I'm not going to sell out at the deadline for this team. If there's something that comes along, like an injured outfielder that will try and convert to first base once he's healthy come September, because that's what it's looking like now.
Well, if he's healthy.
Yeah. Great, great deadline acquisition. Kyle Schwarber has had a setback. FYI.
Good hitter, though.
Yeah.
They keep saying good hitter.
It's great. Glad they got him.
Good bat.
It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late by the time they get him on the field.
Well, it'd be
too late for him to make a big difference for the team.
Perfect time for all the call-ups at that point, right? You get him up there, see who could play.
So
in the
I
big
just, I would like to say thank you, Chaim.
Yep.
Thank you for knowing. Thank you for seeing that, you know what? They were an outlier, that statistically they were an improbability that they had played so well. Because those guys don't believe in the emotion of the team. They don't believe in the guy's willpower. They don't believe in clutching late. They don't believe in those things. Those don't enter the equation for them. While we watched this team and said, these guys play their balls off. They get down and they have comeback win after comeback win because they just don't quit. And I think that thing that they had prior to the deadline, well, it started to dissipate post-deadline. And I think Alex Cora has even indicated, he indicated this over the weekend. I think he knows it. And I think he's been trying to jumpstart this team post-deadline.
Yeah, you've been on that. And I've talked to you about that. And you're like, you know, I don't blame Cora for doing that. I think he had to play a Schwarber highlight video for the team, supposedly in the clubhouse, just to get them excited. And I didn't really believe much in this, where a team comes out, and I guess this happens in baseball, and this is how teams responded. There's going to be this reaction from the clubhouse that we didn't get that shot in the arm we needed. And I thought, boy, the money you get paid, you go out, you play.
I've been banging that drum for 2 months.
And I guess they're right. The people are right about it. Like that, the baseball teams do that. We're going to keep our heads down. We're going to sulk. And we're not going to have the same energy that we had prior to the deadline. And you would think, okay, guys are better than that. You have a little pride in what you do, a little pep in your step. But damn it, you sent a message to your team, and they got the message.
So Cora's quote over the weekend when asked if the slump post-deadline is in part, again, it's not everything, but in part to not getting reinforcements. It's sort of the mentality of the team being impacted. And he said, I do believe people pay attention, right? And they read and all that. We haven't had conversations about it. So it was about the inactivity compared to the contenders, and was it a letdown? And he said, well, we haven't specifically had conversations about it. Have we felt let down? But he did start by saying, people pay attention, right?
He's telling you without telling you.
He's telling you to read between the lines.
I don't need to have that conversation. You people talk about it, they hear it. They hear it through everything.
Well, Alex,
I don't want to reiterate it.
Alex Cora is smart enough to know that nothing he can say is going to help that.
Yeah, what's he going to say? Chris Sale's coming? Like, there's our guy. Keeps calling him our guy. What's he going to save your ass? What if he struggles out of the gate? What if he only goes through 4 or 5? Like, God forbid you get a guy that gets the 7. My God, that doesn't happen anymore. But this guy's going to save your ass second half coming off Tommy John. You just hope he makes it through.
middle of the lineup has gone quiet. Now you've got JD Martinez dealing with being on the COVID-19 list, and you've got starting pitching that can't go deep. Cora's tried to force some of these guys to go deeper than they probably should have, and it's also in the back end with Matt Barnes in the bullpen. They've got issues in every spot right now. It's a team effort to be where they are, which is now four games back with a series with the Rays on the horizon.
Think about that jump start that they had, the type of, you know, coming out of the gate the way they did. You get to, you know, the middle of summer, you had what, five guys elected to the All-Star team? Five All-Stars on this team. And then here we are. 1 month, 8.5 game swing. Like, when's the last time that happened around here? You got to go back, what, you know, 10, 15 years.
And now they've got the Rays.
That's like the lead, but that...
The first place Rays.
Yeah.
This is the week.
Is this your season?
The Red Sox week right now ahead of them is 3 with the Rays and 3 with the Orioles. This is the type of week where you can completely sort of erase the problems you've had for the last 2-3 weeks.
Compound them.
I thought yesterday's loss, and T-Bone had a great tweet yesterday. He said, how many losses can be the worst loss of the year for this team? How many? And they've had a bunch here in the last couple of weeks.
Two this weekend.
Right. I mean, two worst of the year. It's like the Celtics, right? How many times can the Celtics have their low point like they had last year?
Well, the one the other night was on pure stupidity. That seventh inning? Was it the seventh inning with the ridiculous base running?
Yeah.
The blunders?
Yeah, that was stupid.
I would say that one is, that one sticks. I mean, guys are going to give it up at the end. But man, it's something to watch with Barnes, huh?
Yeah. We have more on that.
Yeah, I know.
But this week is the week where they can flip the script a little bit. So I don't think it's over. I don't think they're dead. I still think there is time to sort of, I don't know, change the tide.
You know what it is?
And I thought yesterday was going to be the start of that. I really did. I thought, okay, they had the bats going. They score 8 runs.
What time did that game check out?
And I
what, 8-4, 7-2?
At 8-4.
7-2 was a good number.
At 8-4, I relocated and went somewhere that did not have the Red Sox game due to YouTube TV. Wait, I've got more on YouTube TV.
You went to some little kid's house, huh?
No, not what? Little kid's
house? Or like a millennial, like one of those off-the-grid people.
Oh, no, right? I call them children.
What, you got a louse
yeah,
house?
Your children with your YouTube TV, T-Bone.
You went to see louse.
Louse. All your children. You
hey, I see the games.
I don't even want to know how.
But I'm sure you thought it was won. It was over.
I thought it was over. Yeah. I said, all right, this is good. This is a good way for them to end the series in Toronto and not feel like it was a total bleep show.
They split the doubleheader on Saturday. You're like, all right, you take 2 of 4. Maybe you start to right this ship. And instead, you lose that game last night. You've now lost 10 of your last 13 games.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Brutal.
This is F it week.
This is the week.
Fix it or F it up.
All right, let's talk more about that. Your calls, thoughts on the Red Sox, 617-779-0985. You mentioned Matt Barnes. We have more stats on Matt Barnes and what some of his troubles could be coming from. It's probably a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Being overworked might be one of them. There could be another thing related to the sticky stuff. Mm. We'll get to that coming up. 617-779-0985. Where the Red Sox go from here, they get ready to start a series against the Rays tomorrow night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Harry.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the pitch before Springer, he'd swung through a fastball. Yep. Were you trying to throw the same pitch, change the location a little bit, or what happened there?
So yesterday I threw a bunch of really good curveballs to him and he chased down with me. Threw the 0-0 curveball to him that he put a decent swing on it. I know he fouled it off, but it looked like he was at least somewhat on time with that pitch. I fell behind 2-1, threw a good fastball 2-1 that he swung and missed with. And just playing off of the at-bat yesterday and how he took that swing, in my mind, I didn't think that he thought I was coming back with another fastball. I thought for sure he was going to sit on a breaking ball, and I was trying to, I mean, it leaked middle. Just plain and simple, the ball leaked middle and he put a good swing on it, but we were trying to execute a fastball way there to him.
There we go.
I didn't think he thought. See, I know what I thought, but I didn't think he thought that.
Matt Barnes yesterday, after giving up another long ball. Oh, you want to turn your mic on?
Michael.
There you go.
Where's the engineer? Is he on his boat again?
Jesus. I don't even understand what's going on with some of this.
I thought you said, are you okay, Spider?
You all right, Spider?
Yeah, freaking. Give me a freaking drink here.
Yeah, well, George Springer was at the plate, and Matt Barnes thought George Springer wasn't thinking Matt Barnes would throw another fastball.
Well, George was thinking well.
But to help him out,
right.
Matt Barnes took a couple of miles an hour off the previous fastball on the previous pitch and threw it right down Broadway. It leaked all right.
You see how quick Matt Barnes' head went?
It was leaking down your leg, Matty.
It broke his neck. Whoa, where'd that thing go?
There goes that one.
That was like Beatles' basement.
Oh, my God. Not anymore.
Who's those people you call?
Thanks to Premier Basement Waterproofing. All right.
Game's over for that.
Game over for water.
Game over for socks.
Game over for socks.
It's game over for Red Sox.
No longer a leaky basement. Maz has this on 98.5thesportshub.com. He writes, now, call me a cynic, but the numbers are what they are. And that is, Matt Barnes has not been the same since the spider tack crackdown. He says, as the Red Sox continued to spiral over a weekend in which Barnes allowed a pair of game-winning home runs to the Blue Jays, let's be fair and acknowledge a near universal truth. There are probably multiple factors at work. In a sport designed to grind you down, the workload for the Red Sox relievers has steadily shot up. As such, the Sox are now closer to fourth place than they are to first. I didn't even think of it in those terms until Matt wrote that. Forget that they're two and a half games. There are only two and a half games separating the Red Sox and Yankees. There are now only three games separating the Red Sox and Blue Jays, who are in fourth place. And again, the lead for the Rays is currently at four games over the Red Sox.
Yeah, see, I don't think Matt Barnes is a mental vorp like Garrett Richards is with the whole spider.
Oh, no, I don't think that at all.
But I respect Maz's numbers, and he's right. But I bet if you look at every single pitcher, whether you're a starter, whether you're a closer, whether you're a bullpen guy, your numbers are going to be down.
Well,
this. Now it's who could figure it out.
Especially these bullpen guys who have been used, as Maz points out. He says, let's first put the obvious to this. These guys have been used a lot. They have.
It's true.
Their usage is up. He says, as we approach the fourth and final quarter of the 2021 baseball season, here are those numbers for Matt Barnes through June 5th and starting on June 6th, which is post-spider-tack crackdown. Is there spider-tack at play for Matt Barnes? His innings prior to the 5th were 25 and a third. He's now at 20 innings since. He's made 22 appearances since the crackdown. He has had 14 save opportunities. He has converted 10 of them. Prior to the crackdown, he had 15 save opportunities and converted 14 of them. He was 14 of 15. Now he's 10 of 14 post crackdown. And obviously we saw some meltdowns recently from him. That means his save percentage is down considerably. His ERA is up from 2.49 to 3.15. Mm-hmm. His strikeouts per nine. This is one of the biggest drops.
This is the one.
His strikeouts per nine have gone from 15.98 to 11.25. His walks per nine, 1.78 prior, now 3.15. And he's given up four home runs since. He had only given up two through June 5th. Home runs are up, walks are up, strikeouts down. The stuff isn't the same.
That's obvious. Yeah, and I mean, the strikeout once is the big one. That's when you're supposed to come in. You're supposed to just shut the door. Now, that was, what, a four-out save he was attempting to get yesterday? So sometimes you're asking him maybe to do a little bit more, and especially if, you know, these guys are getting taxed, it's going to be more evident once we get the middle of August, end of August.
So I think
if you're bringing this guy in, you know, with one out or two outs in the eighth, it could be an issue for him. He might just be a nine-inning guy now from here on out. So that could be part of the problem.
I just think that maybe it's – more that Barnes is... I don't look at Matt Barnes and say that guy's a spider tack guy.
No, I don't either. I look at Garrett Richards and I think
say that guy is without a doubt. So Maz had written, again, 98.5thesportsup.com, if Barnes was a spider tack user, he wasn't alone. Lots of pitchers in baseball were obviously using it, but if the Red Sox knew it, and they certainly would have, then the team's failure to add significant bullpen help at the trading deadline becomes an even bigger indictment on ownership and management, particularly as the Red Sox opted to stay under the luxury tax line. They also gave Matt Barnes an extension this year, which is something to consider too. So he may have been using it, but when I say I don't look at him and say, oh, that's a spider tack guy,
right.
I think he's capable of pitching without it. I think he's capable of not throwing the 95-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle yesterday.
Does that
to
ball
give
leak?
Up that home run.
But does that ball leak if he has spider tack? See, that's another way he could be. I'm not going to be Garrett Richards here and tell you, like, oh, I can't pitch now without the damn thing.
You're saying he has less control over his fastball because he can't grip the ball.
I'm not going to say I needed the spider tack, but the ball leaked there.
Yeah. I don't know. He threw that one to the exact same spot. Maybe that was. He didn't need spider tack for that.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Tim and Lowell. What's up, Tim?
Timmy.
Let me tell you something, guys. It's got nothing to do with spider tack. What it has to do with that no balls Matt Barnes just doesn't have what it takes to be a closer in pressurized games. Early in the season, no pressure. You're playing Baltimore. He pitched great. I knew as the season wore along and the games became more pressurized, I knew he would fold. He was folding last year when he could use spider tack. When you see him arching his back on the mound, he's pooping his pants. He doesn't have what it takes to be a closer, never has, and now they give him a two-year extension. They need to put Whitlock in the closing role. They should have picked up a veteran closer. Tony's right. They should have picked up a veteran closer at the trading deadline because this guy's true colors is going to show. I'm going to tell you something. I know people at the sports books that made a ton of money because of Matt Barnes last year when he could use whatever he wanted to do. He doesn't have what it takes to be a closer for a good team.
Okay.
Maybe he doesn't have the spine for it. Remember what he said when they were talking about Craig Kimbrell? He said, I would give up my closer role if we brought Craig Kimbrell on.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought he was saying he did not want to give it up. I thought there was...
I don't know.
Maybe I'm misremembering that.
I thought he said he would give it up.
Oh, so Matt Barnes said if they brought back Kimbrell, he was happy to hand over the keys to the closer role.
I don't know if he was kidding.
Oh, no, July 28th.
Yeah.
I think Tom's right. I know we had spent a lot of time on the politics of that post... signing him to the extension, would he be accepting? And I said he should be more accepting given that he knows that his money is secure. They just re-signed him. So you got paid well. Shut up and do what they tell you to do. You just got re-signed. You're not worried about being the closer as you go out into free agency. You don't have to worry about that anymore. They just re-signed you. Ah, good call, T-Bone. Selfishly, would I love to still be the closer, he said? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if I go back to throwing in the eighth because the guy throwing in the ninth is Craig Kimbrell, I'm totally fine with it. I would welcome him with open arms.
I mean, help.
Which I think is the right move for him. Like, that's what he should say.
Yeah.
But maybe it does indicate that he doesn't love closing and that he knows ultimately he gets the shakes out there a little bit.
We would have been all over him
if he starts leaking out there a little bit.
He also went on that COVID list. Remember when he was sick or whatever? And he didn't pitch for 6 days.
Right. So he had rest.
Maybe that was a bad thing.
He's out of his groove?
Yeah. I mean, he came back and he gave up a walk-off home run and they gave up whatever that was yesterday.
But to Tim's point, yeah, the Red Sox should have added a closer. They should have, you know, I used to say any bullpen piece that was of real significance, not what they did get. They should have added a starter. They should have added a first baseman. They should have done a lot of things because they had a great first half of the year, and they looked like a team that was worth investing in. They didn't really invest in the team. They did get Kyle Schwarber, and here's the latest on that, by the way. The rehab has hit a snag, according to The Athletic's Jen McCaffrey, who reports that Schwarber has suffered a minor setback due to left groin tightness. He experienced the groin tightness while running and fielding drills during the team's series in Detroit last week.
But let's have him play first base.
But that's right. Because if losing one new player at first base
to groin,
to an injury
to groin
isn't enough, Let's trade for another injured guy and have him start working out at first base. That is a foolproof plan, guys. Thank you, Heim. Thank you, Heim. You're the best.
Clowns.
You're the best, Heim. Speaking of this, and thanking Heim, and again, Heim was right. We were wrong. Heim knew it. The team wasn't worth investing in. They weren't that good.
They're telling you that.
They're playing above their ability, and he knew it. Heim knew it. I didn't know it. I thought they were a good team. Silly me.
Fans kind of know it, too.
So Heim knew it. You know what? I'd like to have another admission of something I've been wrong on. And we've all been wrong on. We've all been talking about the renewed interest in the Red Sox this season and how we think people have been paying attention to them again. Some new data reveals we have been dead wrong on this.
A little premature
dead wrong on this. Felger is going to love this story. Felger, if you're listening, you want to stay tuned for this, kid. Just wait until you hear some of this new data on Red Sox TV ratings and MLB ratings on the whole. We were wrong.
Yeah.
And I admit it.
You were pounding that drum, big boy. Yeah.
More on that after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Breer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
While some of the data I'm about to present not only proves how wrong we've been.
Thank you. You want a fun fact about this song real quick?
Yeah, you thought it was Michael Jackson. You went to the record store and you looked for a Michael Jackson album. Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
The little ones.
The singles.
Yeah, not the LPs.
45s?
Yeah, the 45s. Flipping through them at like a Kmart.
Oh, boy.
Who sings in the
back? How was that his fault? What happened?
It's just Rockwell.
Was that his headphones?
Yes.
I don't think it was. I think something.
But it's Michael singing in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that right there is him doing the background right now.
What did he get?
What's that? There's a whole story like Rockwell
Barry Gordy.
Is it Barry Gordy's kid or something? Or
grandson or something. Yep. We did this. I'm not even near
it. He's not even near it that time.
This whole setup is effed up.
No, your headphones are way too loud.
Something was very odd that time. He was so far away from the mic, though. And now you're being a jerk. Well, now you're being a jerk. You did it on purpose.
Down. Turn him down. I can't hear anybody now.
We need to get you some ear pads that
we need to
track
sponsor.
The sound to your ears.
We need a sponsor.
Because you're deaf.
What are you, one of them doctors that comes in and does that whole earwax removal thing, and we could do it live on?
No, I think hearing aids.
Or you could go to a doctor.
I don't go to a doctor.
Okay. No kidding.
Germs there.
Germs. Anyway, here's the data. Here, first of all, let's start with this. James Stewart, producer, Felger Maserati.
Scoop.
He has some numbers on Thursday afternoon's TV ratings between the hours of 2 and 6, which coincides with the airing of Felger and Maz here on NBC Sports Boston and 98.5 The Sports Hub, of course. But these are TV ratings. The male 25 to 54 demographic only. So it's the numbers that we care about here in radio,
right?
For us, for
the
our
big,
purposes.
Big boy numbers.
The important ratings. Felger and Maz did a 0.53 on television. And Red Sox Tigers did a 0.32. That means the Red Sox lost to Felger and Maz in men 25 to 54.
But that's not their target demo, meaning the Red Sox.
Well, the Red Sox just target everybody. They want everybody watching.
65 and up.
They care about everybody. They care about all the eyeballs. The problem is many of their eyeballs are aging. Now, there's a sponsorship there. They should be selling
glasses.
Or probably heading to the diners for the blue plate special.
Or something like that.
Get your back pills.
Right? I would say LASIK, but I don't know if you age out of LASIK at some point.
I don't think you do.
Anyway. Here's some more from Forbes and Maury Brown, longtime baseball guy. Used to be Bizball, his website. But now he's sort of all over the place. He's at Forbes. And he writes this. MLB seeing local TV households decline dramatically compared with their last full season. Remember when baseball was bragging about all their big numbers? All their numbers being up from a year ago?
Yeah, Carrabba's was over this early May, too. Like, hey, it is back. Well, back big.
Guess what he wrote? He said, while 29 domestic regional sports networks, also known as RSNs, saw a slight increase in TV households watching Major League Baseball at the All-Star break compared to 2019. The league is seeing a double-digit drop. The reasons are numerous. As of July 19th, the designated DMA, these are all very technical terms now, household average for the league of 1.8 million compared to the 60-game season of 1.8 million and change. It was a plus 2% increase as of July 19th. Okay, so you're like, oh, okay, that was pretty good. However, what is concerning is that all, if not, not all, it's that he should have written most, but most RSN saw a drop compared to 2019. There's only a handful of teams that have seen an increase compared to 2 years ago. And this is why he did 2 years ago, not a year ago, because it was a 60-game season and it was shortened and it was in the middle of a pandemic. Up from 2 years ago are the Tigers, Padres, A's, Giants, Dodgers, and White Sox. Mostly good teams, especially the White Sox, who were up 123%.
Wow.
Which is good. On the plus side, the Red Sox on NESN. We're seeing an average TV household of 84,731 at the All-Star break, compared to 49,307 in 2020, this shortened season. So this is how the numbers were manipulated.
Skewed. Yes.
That means the Red Sox ratings, or excuse me, viewership was up 72% compared to last year. Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And the Red Sox could brag about it and say, we're up 72% from last year. You know where they are compared to 2 years ago?
Down.
Down 32%. They're down 32%. TV households down 32% from two seasons ago. There's no renewed interest. They're down 32%. A third from two seasons ago. Up 72% from a year ago. Down 32% from the last full real season. That's not good. It's not good. I thought there was renewed interest. We know there's way more interest than a year ago. I don't think anybody was paying attention last season. They were barely worth a mention.
Right.
But to be down a third from two seasons ago, that's a bit of a problem.
You were not good that year either, right? I'm trying to think. I can't remember which year's which now. Like last year was a pandemic. That was an asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
That whole year sucked. Baseball-wise, just couldn't have crowds. Couldn't have anybody in the stadium. Played in front of empty buildings. You really don't want to pound your chest comparative to last year. They're even smart enough not to really want to, pound that thing home like a dead horse.
So compared to, on the whole, Major League Baseball, compared to 2019, last full 162-game season, the 29 regional sports networks that are measured by Nielsen have seen a drop of 12%. So it's down 12% from 2 years ago. It's not up a bajillion percent like baseball would have you thinking it is. Everyone's back on baseball.
So you got fooled there, huh?
They're saying it's down 12%. Nielsen down 12% from 2 years ago in terms of number, and that's everybody. Then we're down 12%.
How hard was it to see that game on YouTube? So you
want to take... They're going to tell you, though, that the streaming is what the problem is.
Of course.
Yeah. That they're only down 12% in TV ratings because streaming is making up for it. And there's no doubt streaming has increased, right? There's no denying that. I think that they're kidding themselves if they think that streaming is making up for a 32% decline for the Red Sox from 2 years ago. So let's assume that the one-third they've lost all went to streaming. So you're telling me a third of the Red Sox audience has flipped to streaming in the last 24 months. Okay, fine. I'll buy your premise. One-third of customers have moved to streaming, which is not true, but I'll work with you here.
Right, especially in the 25 to 54 demo. Like, fine. How many of those are really switching over?
Great, okay.
It's kids. Kids
fine.
Switch over.
No, fine. No, that would be the demo that switches. So great.
Yeah.
You switched over to streaming. One-third of you. One-third of the Red Sox viewership, which is just laughable. There's no way this is possible. But if they did, I'm never going to buy that it's now somehow increased and the numbers are better. You're crazy if you think that's the case. So we're wrong. And I'm sorry. Sorry we were wrong.
It's all right.
And Felger and Maz beating the Red Sox in our demo on Thursday makes me question why we even spend time on them.
It's a big vacation.
Why do we even spend time on this team?
It's a big vacation week,
too. It's a big problem for me now seeing this.
No, and no offense to anybody that was in Thursday.
Maybe our listeners hate the Red Sox. I don't know.
Was it a fully loaded show even on Thursday? Felger, Maz, and Murray? I think Matiki was in doing a lot last week, too, wasn't he? I can't remember. Like, I remember to go to Gillette here in the morning. I got that wrong today.
So what we're learning is men 25-54 don't watch the Red Sox. They watch Felger and Maz.
Let's just recap their show the next time.
It's a better show. Maybe we should start doing a 2-6 segment.
Maybe we should spend less time on them. Not that we spend a lot of time on them now. Maybe we should just do less.
Do more Felger and Maz.
That's the attitude this week. Do less. No objection from Artie. Artie's
they may take care of that for us, you know, with the Rays coming in here starting tomorrow night. If things go south or continue to go south.
You can F it up this week. You're right. Screw this thing. Screw them. Get some angry fans going.
This is the biggest series of the season. Well, you know, I heard that about the Yankees a couple of weeks ago. It kind of goes back to T-Bone's tweet last night. How many worst losses of the season can you have? How many most important series of the season can you have? Is this the last one? I guess if you keep topping yourself by either continuing a bad streak or putting yourself in a position where you need to win games after being, you know, in really good shape just a month ago, I guess it can happen multiple times. You can have more worst losses. You can have another series that ends up, oh, no, now it's really, forget about that one that we ended up losing. Now it really comes down to crunch time.
And sadly, you're hanging on for Chris Sale. So he pitches Saturday at Fenway. It may not even matter by then if you don't take care of business prior to that. Be competitive prior to Sale. And then get the thing going. But boy, if you really F it up prior to his start, take some luster off that sucker. Jesus.
It could change a lot of stuff with Sale. Because if you're close to the leading the division, or you have the lead, bringing him back is what's best for the team. If you're sucking, and it looks like this ain't the year, is that best for Chris Sale to bring him back and pitch him a bunch of innings?
No, I'd slow him down a little bit. He needs to pitch, but I don't know that
pitch,
I'm not maxing him out.
No.
So if you have thoughts on the Red Sox, we always welcome them. 617-779-0985, despite our demographic not liking the team very much because they don't watch them. We'll talk about it. Also, an update on the Olympics being the dumbest thing ever. Do you want to get to that?
I love those.
That and the Patriots on the way as well, so don't go anywhere.
Olympics over.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right. But it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, kept going. She looks very, very nervous here. She's on Saint Boy. What on earth is going on here? The horse is refusing.
Well, this is devastating to watch. Annika Schloy not able to get St. Boy to move into the arena. She is looking devastated. Kim Reisner, her coach, just watching on. and Annika Schloy has got one of the biggest leads in Olympic history coming into the ride. We saw St. Boy have issues early on with Gubadaina scoring zero. Can Schloy do something here? She needs to just try and let the horse turn around and move forwards here. Now get going forwards. He is not happy, and she's now just not sure what to do. Now once she's moving forward, she's...
Well, the Olympics are wrapping up. Are they over? Are there any more events, or is it done? I saw the closing ceremonies.
I have no clue.
Closing ceremonies were last night, right?
That's it, right?
That's it. It's over? Done?
Yeah. Good. Get out.
Nothing left. No leftovers?
Get off NBC.
Who was it that called in and said they love the Olympics as they love watching the closing ceremonies?
Oh, it was a caller. I don't know who it was.
Because I watched them last night, and we laughed at first, but... I mean, watching all the athletes walk around with their cell phones, and like, you know. And
look at nobody here.
Look at nobody.
Look how weird this is.
And it was a good watch.
Is it an asterisk
for Olympics? I watched for hours the closing ceremonies.
But that audio you heard, it was one of those damn equine events. Those you equestrian people. Yeah, and I've rode horses.
You know, what's it called? Pentathlon?
Yeah, so what you just heard was audio from the pentathlon. And that was a rider, Annika Schluh of Germany, who was ugly crying on the horse because the horse in the equestrian portion of the pentathlon would not jump.
That was move.
Saint Boy. Yeah, Saint Boy was the horse.
Clever
Screw
Boy?
You.
Saint Boy. Cousin of Clever Boy. And so not only would the horse not jump, I've learned that the horse in pentathlon is not a horse... that belongs to the rider. They just give you a random horse and say, here, jump with this one.
So wait a minute.
It was not her horse.
How is that even feasible? Seriously. Like, you train, you have your own horse.
Yeah, okay. So,
right? I mean, you train for what, 4 years for this?
Athletes in modern pentathlon are expected to ride horses they have never met before.
Give them a wild one.
Bonding with them quickly is considered part of the challenge. German officials have argued that the sport should consider changing those rules because Saint Boy, reading from NBC,
Saint Boy,
had already refused to jump for another rider, Russian competitor Gulnaz Gobayadalina. Mm. I think I did that one pretty well. Earlier in the competition, and the German Modern Pentathlon Union said that the horse had been traumatized by the previous rider.
Well, you want to traumatize a horse? I'll show it to you.
The video's amazing. The rider's pretty traumatized.
But the commentator, like, oh, this is traumatizing.
He's having an absolute real-life nightmare right now.
Is it?
Well, that's the second refusal at that fence, so she needs to move on to the next jump. But I think she realizes all hopes are over.
All hopes are over.
And she has lost... her concentration, and she's lost her chance at an Olympic title. This is hard to watch. It's hard to commentate on, to be honest. Annika Schloy has worked so hard. She finished
Thoughts and prayers to the color analyst on the pentathlon broadcast.
I agree. It's hard to do commentary on horse jumping when the horse won't jump.
Zoe watching Cam Newton.
I should mention this competitor went from first place to 31st place because the horse wouldn't jump.
Do you have the number over there, T-Bone? I say thing www.0002424. Give us a call right
now. To which I would say...
8-3-2-4-5-5-5.
Is this not proof that your event is stupid?
Dumb.
Because 08-717-22-3-4-4.
But the horse won't jump. What does that have to do with the athlete? What does that have to do with that?
It's not
like they trained this horse.
You better off wrestling alligators.
Hey, this is your horse. You've been able to work with this horse for 4 years since the last Olympics to have you and the horse be a unit, if you will.
That ain't sport. That's not sport.
What they need to do is combine that horse jumping thing with some of those sharpshooting events that they have, because you know that that horse got a bolt gun after he refused to jump. So
the coach has been suspended, though.
How do we get the horse back? Don't worry, it won't be making it back.
Forget about the coach. You just combine the events. So if you're an equestrian, you're in the pentathlon, your horse won't jump, then you have a second chance at a medal. Take them over to the shooting range.
Bolt gun.
Because they're just gonna send that horse to the glue factory anyway.
Right.
Give the rider a rifle and say, all right, you still got a shot at a medal. Yeah. Put one right between that thing's eyes.
It'll be like Niedermeyer.
That's your redemption? Baby, when the horse won't jump, the redemption is if you kill the horse?
Yeah.
If you want a medal.
Yeah.
And it's another event.
Could that have gotten Annika back into first place and in contention for the gold?
I don't know.
It should have. Now, Josh is bringing up a very good point on Twitter. He said, the horse was suffering from mental illness. Stop making fun of it for not wanting to compete. The horse had broken its leg. No one would question why it wouldn't jump.
It already did it before.
But you don't know what the horse is going through mentally.
The horses had multiple jumps like that where it's already done it and did it. Like, I already did it. And hey, to the horse's credit, there's no juice there.
You had the twisties.
There's no people in the stands. So the horse said, hell with this.
It's called the jumpies.
Right.
Yeah, the jumpies.
You think anybody will write an article on a horse?
Let's get to headlines. We'll continue on this on the other side.
Write an article on a horse, you people.
We can't stop here. I have another item on why the Olympics should be canceled. More on canceling the Olympics.
Yes.
I've been trying to cancel them. Did you know they're coming back in 6 months?
Nope, don't care.
Winter Games this winter. But more on the Summer Games next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.